Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mouth of the Time podcast. I'm Jordan Cronin, and as ever, I'm joined by Miles Stauffer to chat all things Newcastle United. We're just recording this podcast 24 hours before Newcastle are due to kick off at Old Trafford. But before we get into that, we've got a few things to digest. A certain club statement that came out a week ago today in a 25-man squad that came out on Thursday night. So it's essentially from the club statement, which I'm sure everyone would have seen by now, and it was obviously bizarrely left unsigned as well. The statement defended the club's summer transfer business with obviously Joe Willock the only player to arrive. And I think the standout line and that really was that the club confirmed that there was only one pot of money for transfers, and I think possibly infrastructure, which had obviously been considerably impacted, as the club mentioned, by COVID-19. They went on to say that all parties have been made aware of the budget restrictions, which I thought was interesting timing, given that there was reports that Steve Bruce was left unhappy, that he was only able to sign one player. Miles, you spoke to Steve Bruce this morning ahead of obviously facing Manchester United. Just how did he respond to that statement, and just what are your brief sort of thoughts on the statement last week?
Well, before we get into Bruce and at the press site, it's interesting that this kind of one pot of money line in the statement. This was something that Rafa Benitez would talk a lot about. It was the same when he was there. He would always make the point you needed your transfer budget, you needed money for kind of infrastructure or improvements to the training ground, and you need budget for the academy and bringing players through. And it was always a source of tension with him that he was told there's this pot of money. If you want to spend £5 million on the training ground, great. That's £5 million less to spend on your first team squad. And you put in a position where managers aren't, they're looking for, in the short term, they want to get the strongest team possible out on the field because it's their job, their reputation, everything's on the line. So they're not going to commit. There's this limited pot of money, more limited now than ever due to COVID. They're not going to say, right, I'm going to have next to no first team budget, but we're going to improve the training ground. We're going to improve the academy. We can also do this to the stadium. You can make the kind of improvements that we all want at St. James's Park. So that's nothing new. In terms of the statement, it was addressed as an update for fans, but it was seen, I think, by many of us really as a bit of a slap down to Steve Bruce, given that what went on, there was briefings from the Bruce side about his dissatisfaction with the business, and that it was described as being a low ebb and battered and bruised. He'd gone into that last day of the window in the belief that there was still a chance to get one or two loans through the door, whereas the noises from elsewhere in the club were that they were done in terms of first team arrivals. So this was kind of played out quite loudly in the final hours of the window. And, we understand that didn't go down too well at the club. And Bruce, of course, in this respect, has the backing of supporters, really. He wanted more players through the door. Would Choudhury made a massive difference to this squad? Was he the player we need? Well, maybe not, but he would have been a new face in the building, which was something I think we all need. Bruce was asked about the statement. He had a kind of twin audience today. He was speaking to the fans, and he was also aware that, again, the hierarchy, Mike Ashley, would have been following closely what he said. And he trod a fine line, really. He made clear his dissatisfaction or unhappiness that he wasn't able to get those one or two more players through the door. Would they made a big difference? We're talking loans here. You can debate that, but as I said, fresh players in the building would have helped. But he stopped short of criticising the club's policy. He said two or three times, it is what it is. We all know how this club operates under Mike Ashley. It's operated this way for a long time. There's a limited pot of money, and there isn't investment coming from Ashley, coming from outside the club, with an idea of, in the long term, building this club up to compete with the very best in this league. That just isn't the plan. So, he trod this fine line. He made it clear he'd been pushing for more players. but again, stop short of really criticising those above him for blocking those deals. One thing he did say, which again is something we kind of knew last week, the issue wasn't so much the cost, the funds for the deals in terms of loan fees and wages. It was as much, he was clearly told you have to get players out before you can get anyone in. There was no appetite seeming to have any first team players outside that 25-man squad. If he was going to bring someone in, he would have to move someone out. And there's obviously players at this club on, you know, maybe not big in Premier League deals in Premier League terms, but they're not going to find moves on the wages they're on at the minute.
Do you think Steve Bruce potentially held back from criticising Mike Ashley? Because the thing over the past sort of 12 months is, whilst Bruce has had his battles with the fans and criticism from the fans, he's always had Mike Ashley's backing to rely on. Do you feel in that statement that hinted their relationship might be at its sort of biggest constraint yet? Or to say as Bruce hopefully trying to keep the relationship with Ashley, because ultimately he needs his backing, because at this moment in time, Steve Bruce is not a popular member among Newcastle fans.
Well, Steve Bruce has kind of said, or with some truth really, he felt he was the best player to get money out of Mike Ashley. Certainly last summer the club did some good business, Callum Wilson being one, and that relationship is important. Rafa Benitez didn't have that relationship. In terms of, maybe he felt that relationship would have squeezed out the extra deal or two he was hoping for this summer. That didn't happen. Mike Ashley's clearly in a place where he's not going to put any money into this club, not a penny more. Obviously, that would have to change if it's in the event of relegation, as there would be funding needed. He's often very mindful of that relationship and going forward too in terms of January. And this club in the past has spent in January or done deals when it's had to, maybe reluctantly, but it has done bits and bobs of business. So I think that's clearly a factor. I don't think we're going to see Steve Bruce criticising the ownership, the hierarchy anytime soon. It's very different to Rafa Benitez. Then again, Rafa Benitez's predecessors, they didn't criticise the hierarchy too much. Mike Ashley and those who run the club don't like their managers to be publicly critical and question their kind of approach. But it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out going forward. But in the meantime, the team needs some results.
Yeah, so obviously transfer window closed. We're only at the 25-man squad, and I think we both predicted it as soon as the window closed. There was really no surprises. It was confirmed on Thursday night. Four goalkeepers, and at one stage, Callum Wilson was named twice in the squad. But I think thankfully that was just a website error rather than an actual paperwork error going into the Premier League.
Well, look, there was only one 25-man squad he could have named, unless there was going to be a free transfer come in, you know, in this short window during the international break before the squad had to be submitted. But yeah, the squad's what it was. We all wondered, would there be a call to Andy Carroll, or there was anyone out there who could come in? But you know, Andy Carroll or anyone else hasn't had a pre-season. They've not kicked a ball. How long would it take someone like that? You know, Daniel Sturridge has mentioned he's not kicked a ball in a competitive fixture for well over a year. You'd have to argue what could one of these players contribute to the club? But of course, I'd probably be happier going into the season with Andy Carroll in the squad if the alternative was we're going without an extra striker. But that ship's, you know, sailed really in the summer. We all hoped that him going was going to herald someone else coming in and, you know, things be freshened up front and elsewhere, but that just hasn't happened. And of course, the big headline from the press conference this morning was Callum Wilson's injury. We wrote earlier this week that this injury, you know, could keep him out for a number of weeks, and that looks exactly what the situation will be. Very coy in terms of a time scale, reluctant to put a time scale on it, but out of this game, and it could be a few weeks before we see Wilson again. And I think the important thing is when he does come back, he's got to be right. This injury's been niggling away for some time. And such an important player. He hasn't been fully fit, but he's got two goals in three games. Take his goals out of that team, and where's the team going to be going forward?
Yeah, you mentioned about Wilson there, obviously a massive blow, and the thing that struck me in the summer, as Steve Bruce did state, that he had adequate cover up top as well if Colin Wilson was to get injured. So I suppose that'll be tested now. Obviously another additional injury as well, I think, is Ryan Fraser, who was pitched out in a protective boot, but I think Bruce stated that Tofi isn't as bad as first feared. He then got John Joe Shelvey out injured still as well. Given Steve Bruce's name, just 21 players in the squad, that's three missing already. I think it's going to take a really big effort from the squad to get Newcastle into a healthy position, potentially to spend in the January transfer window if they have to, and if Mike Ashley wishes to do so.
Yeah, when Steve Bruce was asked about that, whether he's looking at strikers, and he mentioned having adequate cover, he listed players I think he listed Dwight Gale. Okay, there's a striker, but hasn't shown any kind of consistent form. Admittedly, he hasn't been playing week in, week out. Jolinton, we all probably feel his best position isn't out and out striker. Sam Maxim and Al Mirren, who aren't strikers, there aren't that many options for him. So you're looking at Dwight Gale or Jolinton up front. Neither is ideal unless you're going to try some maximum or do something different. So it's tough, and it's hard to see where the goals are going to come from in the absence of Wilson. Of course, Willock, he didn't play much for Arsenal in pre-season. I think less than half an hour, really. He's still getting up to speed, and he's one player we saw back in the last season who can come up with a goal or two. So let's hope he can quickly get back to speed.
Yeah, away from the attacking front, there is a boost at the back with Carl Darlow I think he will be back in the squad for Manchester United. Do you think that's a possibility that he could actually start, Miles, or do you think Woodman could retain his place? Because there's been suggestions that Darlow would come straight back in, but for me personally, I think Woodman hasn't put a foot wrong, and I think it would be really unfair to drop him.
Well, Steve Bruce said he'd be in contention. He was going to coin that, as you'd expect. We've seen Steve Bruce in the past favour experience, and goalkeepers a position where you want experience. But I think I'm with you, Jordan. I don't think Freddie Woodman's done a great deal wrong. He's faced eight penalties. He's had a tough time, though. It's not as if you'd be pinning too much blame on him for any of the goals, really. He's come into the team in difficult circumstances. I think he's done well. He stays in goal for the time being until we know Carl Darlow's really back up to speed. Carl Darlow, let's not forget, hasn't played a friendly. He's not played an under-23 game, sorry. There may come a time soon where it's right to bring Darlow back, but it doesn't feel that time this weekend. I think it's been good to see Woodman in goal, see what he's learned, how far he's come in the past 2 years. I still think he's got a big future, and I hope that future's at this club.
And then, just briefly, Miles, Elliot Anderson and Joe White. Elliot Anderson returned to training this week. Obviously a big boost, well, a good boost anyway, because he didn't get a chance last year due to injuries, so I expect him to be around first team action. Joe White as well, he's potentially travelling with the squad tomorrow. Do you think they're two players, when injuries do impact the squad, they're sort of your two best young players to call upon?
I think they are. They're still both only 18, so it's hard to expect too much. The Carabao Cup would have been an opportunity for them to maybe be more involved, but the fact that Joe White's in the squad at this stage of the season, says a bit about in terms of the squad issues that Steve Bruce has got. I saw Joe White in pre-season, very impressed with him at Burton Albion. Looks a talent. Physically, he's not far off where he needs to be to play in first team football. Technically, he's good. So it'd be interesting to see him and how he fares this season. Elliot Anderson, I'd imagine this game would be too soon for him, because he hasn't had a pre-season. He's got a bit of catching up to do. But again, we saw glimpses of what he could do last season. He's another big talent. So hopefully there'll be, you know, those two can be involved this season and continue their progress. But, you know, also hopefully we can get this the squad more or less fully fit or as close as can be, because between here and January, Steve Bruce needs his big players, and those big players are the likes of Wilson, Sam Maximum, Al Marie, and all these players who are going to bring goals to this team, because that's going to be the issue going forward.
Yeah, so lack of transfer signings, injuries, and then your next game off the international break is Manchester United away. Just looking ahead to Saturday, I'm not sure if you know, Miles, but Cristiano Ronaldo has returned to Manchester United, just in case you
weren't aware of that. Jordan.
Yeah. It's the only thing I've heard this week, sadly. But yeah, I mean, with it being Manchester United, with it being Ronaldo's Manchester United homecoming, is there any chance it can be positive, yeah, Miles, and predict Newcastle at the gate crash the party, as which Steve Bruce hopes can happen?
As much as I'd love to think there's any chance of a result, I certainly wouldn't put any money on it. And it's hard to see beyond a home win, really. And then don't forget this game's followed by Leeds United at home, and another tough one. But no, it's I don't know about you, but I can't. It's hard to see getting anything out of this one.
No, I'm the same. I've always had a thing going into games with Manchester United. I always go, this will be our year to win at Old Trafford. Every year, I just get that little niggling feeling that they might do it, but I can't see it this year, to be honest. I just think that Old Trafford's going to be in party atmosphere as well. Seeing Ronaldo is just only going to raise their players as well. And, you know, they've already got a quality squad. So it's going to raise their game. And I think, you know, when your best attacker out, aside from St. Maximum and Callum Wilson's out as well, you don't really have that threat going forward. If a Joe Linton or a Dwight Gayle is going to come in, then, you know, it isn't the threat that you'd hope for away from home in a game like that. So, yeah, I'm feeling very concerned about it, to be honest. And I think it could be a hammering. But before I give my prediction, Miles, just what do you think? If you had to give a scoreline, what would it be?
I've seen some, you know, the team's gone there in recent years and played well for spells, but going to Old Trafford for 90 minutes and getting a result is an entirely different thing. I'll go a 2-0 home win, but I think we all fear it could be a little bit worse than that. Let's hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, I don't know. As much as Callum Wilson being out, and it is a massive blow. Newcastle in recent seasons have always, I think they've always scored first or scored, and they did it with Matty Longstaff. I think they went 2-0 up as well with Muto and Kennedy that year. Obviously scored an equaliser through St. Maxim. So I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle potentially nicked the first goal, but I don't think that'll last. And to be honest, I think it might be a 5-2 to Manchester United. That's what I'm going to go for.
Ouch,
yes. But I've seen Newcastle have took some hammerings down over the years, haven't they? So, but I'm with you and hope that, you know, the can surprise her, because as much as I know it is a very daunting task, Newcastle need to start getting points on the board somehow in some way. And a result at Old Trafford, you know, could sort of let your season take off, but I am doubtful. I think that's all, isn't it, Miles? I think we've covered all bases there.
I think so. I think there was quite a lot to talk about, to be fair, since we last did one of these podcasts as ever. There was been a lot to digest in terms of statement, transfers, and of course injuries today on the eve of the game.
Yeah, rarely you're positive when it comes to Newcastle, is it? It's always negativity, but fingers crossed that'll change in recent weeks, and maybe next week when we do a podcast, we might be talking about a surprise result at Old Trafford. But thanks everyone for listening. Cheers, Miles, for joining us. We'll catch you all next week, so you can listen to this podcast at all your usual podcast outlets. Cheers.